He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. We have a little stumble out of the gate for the market here so far, but it has picked itself up and is making up for some early lost ground here so far. So we'll see. We got a little momentum going in the right direction right now, but the Dow is down about 90 points right now. That's just 0.3%. We're at 31,403 on the Dow Jones Industrial Average of 30 stocks. The NASDAQ is off a little bit more than that, however, from a percentage point of view. Right now, the NASDAQ's down about 155, so that's down 1.1%. And that puts the NASDAQ back below 14,000. Well, it finished last week below 14,000. I'm thinking 14,000 could be a ceiling, a technical resistance for now on that NASDAQ. The NASDAQ's at 13,733. The S&P 500 is down about a half a percent here, 3,888. On the S&P, Russell 2000 down 0.4%. Crude oil going the other way. Crude oil is up $1.38 to $60.62. Crude oil's had a little bit of a rally here. Goldman Sachs says it's going to 75. We'll see. Gold is at up $28 per ounce to 1805. Silver's up 55 cents to 27.80. And the 10-year bond, that's where we're going to point our finger today for the reason of this sell-off. Rising interest rates, 1.34 now, 1.34%. And we've got a sell-off in Bitcoin. Imagine that. Bitcoin's been going up every day for quite some time. Bitcoin down today, however. So welcome to the February the 22nd. Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson, and a little sloppy start to the market here today. Worries about rising interest rates, and we've been talking about that for several weeks now and what that does to the multiple of the stock market. We've seen a multiple in the market. Forward PE is the multiple I look at the most because it's forward-looking and not backwards-looking. Well, that forward multiple has been expanding for the last year or so as interest rates have remained very, very low, and stock market is the best alternative right now with those low interest rates. And that's why you've seen that multiple expansion, because we've had historic action by our Fed. Well, there's still historic action by our Fed, but the market determines interest rates at the end of the day. And the market's been taking interest rates higher. We've gone from about 0.3 to 1.3. We've gone up 100 basis points here. Over the last year or so. So that's quite a big move up. And during that same period of time, we've seen this major expansion of the market multiple. And I said several weeks ago, as interest rates started to rise, I said, I think we've reached an inflection point here in the market where you're not going to see the multiple expand anymore. Well, so far, that was a pretty good prediction, because we've seen that multiple top out for now, and maybe for a long, long time before we see the multiple it was at a few weeks ago. We've seen it contract a little bit. Without multiple expansion, and if we get multiple contraction, now that's going to be a headwind for the market going forward. But the other part of that equation, earnings times the multiple equals the target price. and earnings continue to go, for now, the right way. So we've got a couple of dynamics at work here in the market. It's impacting mostly the large cap, the mega caps. The six big mega cap stocks last week had a forgettable week as stocks failed to get in gear. Well, Amazon was down 0.8%. Apple was down 4% last week. Alphabet, Google both down. Facebook down 3.3. Microsoft down 1.6. Tesla down 4.3. So what are we seeing here? Well, it's pretty obvious we're seeing sector rotation. We actually had a very good day on Friday. We're down today with the rest of the market, but we benefited on Friday from stocks that are seeing, that are on the receiving end of this sector rotation. For how long does you just have to buy the FANG stocks and sit back and watch them go higher, right? Apple knew no bounds as it rose, and Netflix and Google and Amazon, etc., Facebook. Well, that's come to a screeching halt for now. No 2 years are rarely alike in the market, although 2020 was very much like 2019, but now we're seeing sector rotation, and that's the beauty of the Best Stocks Now app. I invented it for this very reason. So we could spot that sector rotation. The app is a relative ranking system. What is coming into favor now and what is going out of favor now? And several weeks ago, I started seeing new sectors coming into favor that have been out of favor for a long, long time. And at the same time, I saw very popular sectors starting to fall out of favor. That's my argument. That's one of my arguments against passive investing, is with passive investing, you just take a shot at everything in the market, all the sectors, and you don't make any adjustments along the way. The only real factor is your age. Well, okay, so a 70-year-old, you're telling me, should have 70% in bond funds right now? That's the worst place you could possibly be, is in bond funds. Yet the asset allocators and the computer models and the robots will set your asset allocation according to your age and not take into account what's going on in the world around us. What's going on in the world around us is a rising interest rate environment. Now, I had some new accounts come to me over the last couple of weeks, and one in particular was from a pretty young investor, I want to say in the late 30s, and he had a vast bunch of bond funds in his portfolio. That makes no sense whatsoever. And I looked at the chart of those bond funds. They looked horrible. They were from big-name firms, Fidelity and the American Funds, etc. Those are good fund families. But if you're in a bond fund, there's not much they can do. They're at the mercy of interest rates and the market. And those bond funds are rolling over. They look horrible. Maybe that's why he transferred his portfolio out and got it over to me. The first action I took in his portfolios was selling those ugly-looking bond funds, which are only going to get uglier and uglier as time goes by. The market is changing right now. We've had a huge run since March of last year. We've had a massive run in the market over the last 11 months. It's time for the market to settle down, cool off. We're seeing some multiple contraction right now. We reached a valuation in the market that we haven't seen since the year 2000. But having said that, there's rotation into new areas of the market. And therein lies the excitement for me, is discovering where this market is going, which sectors it's going to. I made some buys over the last several weeks in sectors that I haven't been involved in for many, many years. And it's already paying off. We had three huge winners on Friday. which carried us to a big gain on a day when the market was pretty flat, and it was in sectors that you wouldn't think Bill Gunderson would be invested in. You know what? I'm here to make money for my clients. I do my best. I can't make any guarantees. But as I watch the market rotate, you better rotate with it or you'll get run over. These bond funds look ugly right now. But at the same time, other areas of the market look quite interesting. Well, we'll get into the good, the bad, and the ugly here. Hopefully we'll focus a lot on the good. When we come back, there's a lot taking place, including Kathy Wood's playbook, on what she's going to do in the market these days. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. Well, we've had a downturn now in the market during the break. The Dow now down 103, NASDAQ down 200. So there's a debate going on in the market right now. Who will win? The 10-year Treasury jumped 14 basis points last week to 1.34. That's its highest level since February of 2020. It even touched 1.37% overnight, meaning the benchmark rate has moved up 28 basis points so far this month. So who does that hurt? Well, high-growth companies dependent on easy borrowing, and it also lessens the relative appeal of stocks. Why is that? Because investors are now able to get a higher interest rate in the bond market. And maybe they say, you know what, with all this risk, valuation risk in the stock market right now, I'm finally getting double-digit rates out there in the 10-year yield. Maybe I'll move some money to treasuries right now, which have become a little bit more attractive here at 1.34%. And others say, here's a quote from Chief Market Strategist at Truett. We do not see the recent increase in yields as a threat to the bull market, said Keith Lerner, Chief Market Strategist at Truist, given that we are in the early stages of an economic recovery. Monetary and fiscal policy remain supportive. The sharp rebound in earnings and favorable relative valuations, we maintain our overweight to equities. Well, I guess I'm kind of somewhere in between. I think that higher interest rates are going, we're already seeing it. They're having an impact on the high flyers, the high growth stocks. A lot of the winners from last year, a lot of the winners from earlier this year. That's the first area of the market that's very, very vulnerable. And it is selling off right now. And if interest rates continue to rise, then it will start digging in. It's already brought the big tech stocks kind of to a screeching halt here. If I were to pick a pattern, a technical pattern in the market right now that is the dominant technical pattern, it's a topping out number three pattern. No question about it. I have drawn so many horizontal lines on my charts over the last couple of weeks. But at the same time, there are some stocks and some sectors that are breaking out through those horizontal lines. Now, from those horizontal lines, these stocks could break out and move to the upside from here. Maybe it's not a topping out pattern. Maybe it's just a leveling off, a cooling off pattern, a consolidation pattern. But I think it looks more to me like a topping out pattern for now. That's what I said in my newsletter over the weekend. I put my neck on the line all the time. I called the bottom in the market last March 19th, 20. You can go look at my articles on Seeking Alpha. I haven't written a market article yet for Seeking Alpha, a big picture market article, because we're not quite at a an inflection point yet. I need a little bit more evidence, but I'm definitely leaning in the direction that the indexes and the big stocks, the FANGs, etc., have topped out for now. And you have to go looking elsewhere. I would not want to own indexes right now. I would not want to own big sector funds or ETFs right now that are in a lot of these bigger stocks. This is much more of a stock picker's market. I can give you one example. Several weeks ago, I really liked the action in Deere, DE. And I think there's inflation coming, and I think there's going to be upwards pressure on commodities, hard assets, including crops. That's right, grains, etc. That's coming to pass. They're starting to move higher. And for that reason, a lot of the farm equipment stocks look quite good right now. And I was right. Deere had an explosive move on Friday after reporting good earnings. Now, you would think a growth investor like Gunderson would have no interest in a large-cap commodity cyclical stock like Deere, DE. Well, the market is relative, and it's a market of stocks. And when one sector is rolling over, another sector in the market usually is rolling up. Until we get into an actual bear market, then it pretty much takes everything with it. But we remain in a stock picker's market. Even an ETF is not a real good place to be right now. Even though they own a lot of stocks, it's going to be more inclined to move with the overall market. And yet within that ETF, there may be a few individual good stocks. So that's the way I see the market right now. A lot of Cathie Wood in the news today. She is calling for a stock market correction. There will be a valuation reset. There will be fear, she says. Well, there's no doubt about that. That prediction will come true at some point in time. We just don't know when. Cathie Wood seems to be one of the stars that have risen here in the market during this bull run that we've had. Her ARK funds have soared, and they've accumulated a lot of money, people putting money into these funds. And I've seen a lot of the individual stocks within her funds soar to giddy heights. Because as money goes into these ETFs, Cathie Wood and her team has to buy the stocks in those ETFs. And I've seen many of these robotics, automation, I could go on and on, COVID-related, work from home, EV, electric car, her biggest holding overall is Tesla. And as money has plowed into her funds, she's had to turn around and plow that money into a lot of these individual stocks. And I see a lot of them at very bloated valuations. And she sees a correction coming to the market. Now, here's where Cathie Woods and I, Cathie Wood, her name is Wood, she's a graduate of USC in Southern California, not University of South Carolina, USC in Southern California. She was mentored by one of my favorite guys in the market, Arthur Laffer, who's now based in Tennessee. He created the Laffer Curve. I know someone else that was mentored by Arthur Laffer, who I think is in his 80s right now. But anyways, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what her playbook is when the market starts to sell off. And we'll contrast that with what my playbook is. Everybody has their own way of investing. She's going to do something a little bit different from what I will be doing when the market starts to eventually roll over at some point in the future. More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. Be right back. And welcome back to the second half of Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. Well, the Dow's improved. It's down just 65 points. The NASDAQ has gotten worse, however, down 250. And I think, you know, what we said earlier about the high-flying stocks being the most vulnerable to rising interest rates. Now, a correction is out there. We saw one about a year ago today. And I would say during that correction, we pretty much limited the damage. I can't tell you the exact percent we were down when the correction, at the bottom of the correction back in 2020, the COVID correction. But I can tell you, if you're going to be an investor in an ETF that stays pretty much fully invested, that's pretty much what she says she will do, Kathy Wood, is she will, like, add to her core positions, maybe raise a little cash, but she'll use that cash to buy more stable stocks, some of the big drug stocks, etc. She'll park some money in there. But we have to look at how one of her largest funds did back during the COVID correction last year. Let's look at ARKK, ARK Innovation. And by the way, the name of her ETF funds, ARK, comes from, she's a very religious, devout Christian, from the Ark of the Covenant that the children of Israel carried with them in the wilderness under the tutelage, under the leadership of Moses. ARKK is the symbol of one of her largest ETFs. How much money's in it? $27 billion. Well, during the correction of COVID correction, it went down 45% during that correction. And, of course, it came storming back and has been hitting new highs. But I just want to tell you that not everybody out there, in my 24 years in the industry, I have found that a lot of people don't have the stomach for a 45% correction. I have people in my, you know, as clients, if the market goes down 3 days in a row, they're writing to me. What's wrong with this market, Bill? What are you going to do about it? Well, you know, it's been going up for 12, 13 years now. You have to step back from the, you know, the daily activity in the market and look at the big picture. But what I will do when a correction comes along, when the next bear comes along, I guess would be quite a bit different from what she will do. Of course, she's not as maneuverable as I am, having a $27 billion ETF. That's just one of the five ETFs that they run. She pretty much will suffer and then some because she's in the highest flying stocks out there, okay? And her strategy is pretty much to ride through them and wait till it's all over, and then they get back on their trajectory, and you have to be able to ride them down and then sit it out and wait until they come back. She has great conviction in what she does. She believes she's in the strongest growth stocks in the entire market with huge upside potential over the next years and great growth ahead of them. Well, everybody manages money differently. I do it. I'm a little bit more defensive on the downside. I'm a little bit more protective on the downside. It appears that she's the same age that I am. So we've both seen some big bear markets. I guess the one that had the biggest impact on me was the year 2000. When I saw stocks, when I saw the NASDAQ go down 79%. Can it do that again? It absolutely can do that again. And there's a lot of speculation in this market right now in SPACs, in blockchain, in Bitcoin, in small biotechs, in small Chinese stocks. It's very similar to the action that I saw back in the year 2000. Now, I don't expect the 80% correction to begin tomorrow in the NASDAQ. I'm just saying that there are some conditions today that bring back some really bad memories of what happened to the market back in the year 2000. So I guess over the years I've become more defensive on the downside, and I will use inverse ETFs. I did it last year during the COVID correction. You can invest in the S&P, or you can invest in the S&P SH, which goes the opposite way of the S&P. And some of these high flyers are going to really, really get their wings clipped. If the market goes down 40%, they're prone to a 70 to 80% sell-off. That's just the way it is. Those that have gone up the most, and those that have the highest PEs, and those that have the highest growth, and a lot of that growth has been built into the stock, and then some, they're going to come down the hardest. That's just the way it is. So anyways, what I would do would be a little bit different from what she is going to do. All right, now let's move on to some SPACs, all right? Just what you want to hear about, SPACs coming to the market. Well, you know what? A lot of what I do before the market opens, in the quiet, when the ticker tape's not moving, when it's very quiet and peaceful, and, you know, watch the sun come up, etc. I examine new stocks coming to market, news on stocks, making earnings, reporting earnings, analyst upgrades, analyst downgrades, etc. And I have found a lot of new stocks by doing that. And I put them on my watch list. And there's a few today that I saw that kind of catch my eye. Okay, the first one. Well, this is one that is pretty much, I think this one points to the speculative nature of the market right now. CCIV is Churchill Capital 4. And they were a blank check company, but now they're getting very close to striking a deal with Lucid Motors. Well, Lucid Motors is another electric vehicle maker. But here's the ridiculous part of this story. CCIV, Lucid Motors, is being valued right now. I don't think they've even made a car yet. It's being valued at $15 billion. This is a $15 billion company. And they don't even have a product, but they do have electric cars on the drawing board. Maybe they have prototypes out there. So CCIV is one that I have on my watch list. This thing has already, it's $60 per share. It's up 11.6% today. Another one that caught my eye, Colonnade Acquisition. CLA. This is an acquisition corp, a SPAC. A lot of these SPACs don't have much of a story or much of a business, or the business that they have decided to buy is very speculative. This one has teamed up with a company called Ouster. The symbol is OUST. And that one looks pretty interesting. I believe that's the data. It's a data collection company. So that symbol there, we'll keep our eye on. CLA, Colonnade Acquisition. It's up 4.2% today. The Dow's only down 19 right now, coming back pretty fast. NASDAQ, however, still down almost 224 now. Another SPAC, Starboard, S-P-A-C, Starboard SPAC. Actually, this is the data center one. I'm going to have to look up what Colonnade does. I got that in my notes here, and I'll have that when we come back. Cytera SPAC, symbol SVAC. That's the one. Data storage, confirming a deal with data center provider, Cytera Technology. Let's see how that one's doing today. The symbol is SVAC. That thing is up 2.8% today. And then the last one I'll bring up before we go into the final segment of the show is an electric truck maker. How many electric trucks are we going to make? Ford, GM Nikola Ride, Lordstown Motors, on and on and on and on and on. Well, there's one called XOS, ZOS, I guess, will go public through a SPAC called Next Gen Acquisition for a $2 billion valuation. The symbol? NGAC. That's been added to the app. It's on my watch list. It's up 3% today. When we come back, our featured stock of the day. This is The Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. I want to do two stocks here. I like to contrast. I like to use contrast sometimes just so you can see the difference in the stocks that I choose versus the stocks that I eliminate from my, from my interest list. One of the hottest stocks in the market right now is Kohl's. KSS, you're all familiar with Kohl's department store. It is just on fire right now. So it obviously shows up on my momentum list, and it's one of the best charts in the entire market. And now you've got the activists coming in trying to change the way Kohl's does things, and that's a positive for the stock. However, here's the beauty of the Best Stocks Now app. When I do a valuation on it, I can't make any sense of it. It's an 8% grower. That is the growth expected over the next 5 years, an average of 8% per year. That gives it, over the next 5 years, 32% upside potential. I require 80% or more. 80% or more upside potential. I can eliminate this stock just by pulling it up, beststocksnowapp.com, looking at the valuation and saying, no, I cannot justify this stock from a valuation point of view. It doesn't meet my 80%. In fact, 31.7 is quite poor, very poor. So let the activists have at it. Let the momentum players have at it. It's missing the biggest fundamental of all. And it starts with a V. It's valuation. I guess that's my concern a little bit with the ARK ETFs. I don't see her mention valuation much on these stocks. That's also reminiscent of the year 2000 to me. There were some stars that rose in the year 2000 in the IPO bubble, and a lot of those stars came crashing back down to earth because they paid very little attention to value. They were focused on growth, and they were focused on trajectories, and they had pie-in-the-sky valuations, or maybe they never even considered valuation. I remember a famous line by a famous market guru back then that said, valuation doesn't matter anymore. We're in a new paradigm with these dot-com stocks. Well, it always valuation always matters. It always comes back. I don't care if it's single-family homes. I don't care if it's high-interest junk bonds. I don't care if it's cyclical stocks, growth stocks, technology stocks, electric vehicle stocks. It eventually comes back to valuation. So Kohl's gets eliminated on a valuation basis. The one I will feature today is one that had an explosive move on Friday. And no, it's not a technology stock. It's a basic material stock. How boring can you get? Now, see, that's another thing I like about the position I'm in. I'm not constrained. My hands aren't tied to only buy technology or innovative stocks, companies. I can go anywhere I want. I'm not constrained to the United States of America. I'm not even constrained to owning, you know, being long the market 100% of the time. I could have all cash if I feel like that's the best place to have my clients. And there may come a time in the future where that is the best place to have my clients. So I like the unconstrained nature of my chair that I sit in versus the very constrained nature that a lot of mutual fund managers and ETF managers, even though they call their ETFs managed, we'll see how well they're managed. I mean, look, when a bear comes along and if we get a 70% hit to the NASDAQ, we'll see how actively managed they are. Well, anyways, I'm going to feature Freeport MacMoran again today. It exploded to the upside, but the lesson I want to use here today, it has 90% upside potential. If you pull it up on the beststocksnowapp.com, which we're working on right now, we're busy upgrading it. We haven't rolled it out yet, but I'm behind the scenes. Reimagining, redesigning, adding a lot of new capabilities, built-in screens, allowing users to create user lists, etc. That will all be rolling out very soon. As I'm the architect behind it, and I have a programmer that's doing it, and Douglas Apperly helping out also. And you should be very happy with the results. But right now, it's got what I need. That valuation is critical. I look at Freeport MacMoran, FCX, and I see 90% upside potential. I see momentum, A-plus momentum. I see an A performance grade. Therefore, it comes in at number 116 out of 5,635. It meets the very strict criteria that I have. And I'm one of the guys who places a big premium on the V. CanSlim doesn't have a V. That's William O'Neill's method. It's missing a V, valuation. That's the part I added to the momentum and the growth story. Always pay attention to valuation. It's critical. All right. Well, this has been fun. I had a lot more to talk about, but I had to kind of cherry pick here. There's a lot going on in the market right now. It continues to rotate. Interest rates are moving higher for the first time in a long, long time. I don't expect the Fed to do anything unless they see a little bit of inflation that's a little too hotter than they would prefer, a little too hot for their taste. We'll see if we get to that point. And I do see a heck of a lot of spending, which puts more supply of dollars out there, which drives down the value of the dollar, printing of money, which drives up the price of commodity-related stocks. That's a major, major effect that I'm seeing right now in the market. So pay a particular attention to that. What worked last year? Not working this year. It's a whole different market. Let us help guide you through it, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer, check out the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, or have us manage your money for you. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.